And good morning, everybody out there, and very, very Merry Christmas to everybody out there. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the special holiday edition of Tom Harris Live here on United Kingdom Radio. And indeed, you can contact the show if you'd like to. You can telephone if you're in the UK. The telephone number, if you are in the UK, is 020-3287-1488. And that is not a premium rate number. That is a local London number. So you do not have to pay any special fees, only what you would pay if you were normally calling from London. So anyway, it is a beautiful day here in Chicago. We are having a white Christmas, folks. It started to snow last night just before I went to bed about 11 p.m., and it is 10 a.m. here in Chicago now, and we have a lovely coating of snow all over everything, so we are, in fact, having a white Christmas. So very, very nice today. On the show today, we're going to talk a little bit about the holidays, and if anyone would like to telephone in, or indeed Skype in, and the Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. You can Skype in and talk about your favorite holiday memories, and I'll be doing a little bit of that in a moment. We have some clips to play out from various people who have answered the call. They have answered the call to for Christmas greetings or holiday greetings. And we have several here that I'm going to play out or read out. And at the very end of the show, I have a very special Christmas poem, which is written by moi, and I'll be doing that right towards the end of the show. Not the very, very end, but towards the end of the show anyway. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and kind of start things off here and say that, you know, I'm one of these people, and I know I've talked about this on my show before, that I'm not really all that into holidays. It doesn't matter whether it's a religious holiday. It doesn't matter whether it's a secular holiday like Thanksgiving or, you know, July 4th or, you know, any of the big holidays. I don't really do holidays. And, you know, a lot of people have kind of gotten the impression that that's because I'm an atheist, very outspokenly so. But it isn't just that. Part of it is the just kind of general, you know, not caring. And and a lot of that. Bob, I don't know, has already messaged in saying, Merry Festive Balls. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Bob. A little bit later, maybe I'll unload my sack. Oh, yes. And I am wearing the Santa hat, folks. Yes, I'm wearing the Santa hat today because of the Christmas holiday. Now, you're going to have to take my word for that. I could be lying to you, folks. I might not be wearing the Santa hat at all. Imagine that. Why would I be lying to you, folks? I am wearing the Santa hat, whether you believe me or not. Or am I? Anyway, I was thinking about this the other day because I was listening to an old Chris Reardon show. This is going back, probably back to 2006. And he was talking about his first memories of Christmas. Very interesting show that was. And it got me thinking, you know, what were my first memories of Christmas? Now, obviously, I was, you know, born and raised in the United States. Here, you know, celebrating Christmas is the norm. And I know even a lot of people who aren't, you know, Christian, people who are actually of other religions, like, you know, Hindu or Jewish, and, you know, and they celebrate Christmas too, mainly because it's such a strong cultural thing here. And, but we grew up in a house, that nominally Christian home, and we did celebrate Christmas every year. And I don't remember a lot of the Christmases of my childhood. And I think that my very first memories of Christmas are from when I was about 2 or 3 years old, and having the first place that where I lived, you know, from the time I was born until I was about three, almost four, and we lived in a excuse me, I got a cough here for a moment. Sorry about that, folks. I can remember this, the house in East Cleveland where we grew up. This is not a very good area anymore, but But at the time, it was sort of a blue-collar working class sort of neighborhood. And the racial makeup of the neighborhood was just starting to change in the early 60s. Now it's a heavily, I think probably completely, African-American neighborhood now. But at the time, that was just starting to occur, and sort of the white flight was starting to happen, and people were starting to abandon, you know, the white folks were starting to leave the neighborhood. But I remember probably the Christmas right after I turned two or right after I turned three, and having, you know, a tree and being fascinated with tinsel. And I still kind of like tinsel. Well, I haven't personally had a Christmas tree with decorations for many, many years. But very, very interesting to think about and remembering the lights on the tree, remembering the tinsel, remembering the lights. And it was the, you know, back in the old days, great big light bulbs, not like the size that you would put in a lamp, but, you know, sort of the, you know, Christmas tree bulb size lights. And remembering that they were hot, and I couldn't touch them because they were hot. And that's sort of my first, I don't remember any gifts or anything. I just remember the trappings. And only later, getting into the 60s, the sort of mid-60s, I get a little older, into the, you know, 5 or 6 year old range, when I start having really clear memories of celebrating Christmas with the family and going to my grandparents and having, you know, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day with the grandparents and my cousins and other relatives who'd stop by, aunts and uncles, and so forth. Yeah, and that, you know, I remember those gatherings very fondly. I think, you know, I remember the gatherings fondly, but I don't remember any of the gifts. So I'm guessing, you know, at least for me, that the gifts really don't mean much. And maybe that's the thing you get most excited about when you're a kid, but gosh, I don't remember. You know, I remember, I think my earliest memories of gifts are stocking stuffer, you know, the stocking gifts and walnuts, getting walnuts and pecans in our stockings. And I remember there was one Christmas, I think I was probably about 6 or 7, and it was the G.I. Joe Christmas, and everybody, you know, all the young boys, the step siblings and so forth, got G.I. Joes. I remember that. But other than that, I really don't. You know, I have particular Christmas memories of, you know, of course, older. When we were older, our first Christmas in Florida, I remember being very odd because it wasn't Christmas. You know, it's no snow. There's no, you know, I remember one year, this is probably when I was about 15, going out into, yeah, we lived on Sanibel Island during that time. So it was a, you know, barrier island off the west coast of Florida. You get out there by means of a causeway. And I remember there was no place out there to buy a tree. So what we did, what my brother and I did, there were all these little scotch pines, slash pines is what they're called. They don't get very big. They're very long, very skinny, tall little pine trees. And we went out into the swamp, my brother and I, and we cut down, I think, 3 of them. And we tied them together with twine to make a Christmas tree. I remember that one very well. So anyway, if anybody else has any holiday memories that they would like to share, they can feel free to do so. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play out the first of the holiday greetings that I got. And this indeed is coming from Mr. Paul Edwards.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Yes, hello, it's Paul Edwards here, and I'd just like to wish a Merry Christmas to all of my listeners on United Kingdom Radio.
And presumably to my listeners as well. That was Paul Edwards, of course, and he was very kind to send that along to us last week when I first asked for the Christmas greetings. I have others here. So stay tuned for that. And I'm going to go ahead in the meantime, and I'm going to go ahead and we're going to do Today in History. And there's a number of Christmas-related entries here. I'm going to skip over them because we're going to talk a little bit about that later. Today in history, December 25th, in 597, England adopted the Julian calendar. In the year 800, Pope Leo III crowned Charles the Great, also known as Charlemagne, the Holy Roman Emperor. Interesting, because he, of course, is an ancestor of mine. Not Pope Leo, but Charlemagne. In 1066, William the Conqueror was crowned King of England. In 1223, Francis of Assisi assembled the first nativity scene in Greccio, Italy. In 1492, Columbus's ship, the Santa Maria, docked in the Dominican Republic. In 1621, Governor William Bradford of Plymouth, Massachusetts, forbade game playing on Christmas. In 1651, Massachusetts General Court ordered a fine of 5 shillings for observing any such day as Christmas. There's the Puritans, folks. They did not like these holidays. In 1741, oh, yeah, I forgot to play the music. Gosh. Better get that on there. There we go. That's better. I knew something was missing. In 1741, astronomer Anders Celsius introduced the centigrade temperature scale. In 1776, George Washington and his troops crossed the Delaware River and took the Hessians by surprise. They defeated 1,400 Hessian troops that day. In 1818, the very first Christmas carol was first sung in Austria. That Christmas carol was what we would refer today as Silent Night. Also in 1818, Handel's Messiah premiered in Boston, and that was the first time that the Messiah was performed in the United States. In 1868, we have the Christmas pardon. Yes, President Andrew Johnson of the United States, despite a lot of outcry about this, granted an unconditional pardon to everybody who was involved in the War of the Southern Rebellion, which we refer to nowadays as the American Civil War. In 1896, the march Stars and Stripes Forever was written by John Philip Sousa. In 1926, Prince Hirohito of Japan became emperor upon the death of his uncle. Hirohito, who is now known as the Emperor Showa, reigned from 1926 to 1989. In 1932, during King George V's Christmas dinner speech, his chair collapsed. I would have liked there to have been there to see that. In 1939, Montgomery Ward Department Store introduces a new Christmas character, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. In 1950, the Coronation Stone was taken and stolen from Westminster Abbey and smuggled back to Scotland. That would be the Stone of Scone, and it was actually removed from Scotland by Edward I in 1296. In 1959, Richard Starkey received his very first drum set, Richard Starkey being better known to the rest of us as Ringo Starr. In 1977, Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin met with his counterpart from Egypt, President Anwar Sadat, and began the negotiations for the Arab-Israeli Accords. In 1991, Mikhail Gorbachev formally resigned as President of the USSR on Christmas Day, 1991. All right, so famous birthdays on December 25th include Sir Isaac Newton in Grantham, home of our own Mikey Holt, a physicist, mathematician, astronomer, overall genius. In 1921, Clara Harlow Barton, a founder of the American Red Cross, was born in Oxford, Massachusetts. In 1893, Robert L. Ripley, the cartoonist of Ripley's Believe It or Not, was born in Santa Rosa, California. In 1899, actor Humphrey Bogart was born in New York City. Here's looking at you, kid. In 1911, Burn Hogarth, the comic strip artist, he was well known for drawing Tarzan and Buck Rogers and a bunch of other stuff. I remember Burn Hogarth mostly for his anatomy books that he made in later years. Back in the 70s, he did a series of books like Dynamic Anatomy, things like that for people who wanted to become comic book artists. That was very important to me back at that age. 1918, Anwar Sadat, the former Egyptian president, was born. In 1931, woo-woo, new age, mystical person Carlos Castaneda was born. In 1945, Kenny Everett, British television personality from The Kenny Everett Show. 1946, Parrot Heads Rejoice, Jimmy Buffett was born in Mobile, Alabama. 1949, actress Sissy Spacek was born in Quitman, Texas. 1954, Annie Lennox of the Eurythmics was born in Aberdeen, Scotland. And in 1957, Pogues vocalist Shane McGowan was born. And that was Today in History. For today, December 25th. All right. We have some messages coming in. Bob, I don't know, says, Today in History, Jesus was not born. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Hello to Mark. Mark is... I actually just was reading his message to Paul from last week. Oh, I'm not going to talk about that. Hello, Mark. Very nice to have you on board. And Mike Cohen is saying that he thinks that King Edward V, or King George V's chair collapsed because he had too much turkey. Or maybe he had the trifle disaster, says Mike. Yeah, possibly so. Well, it's good to know that I'm going out live, folks, because I was really kind of worried about that coming on to the under the air with our Hour of Dead Air predecessing the show today. All right, so we have another Christmas message here. This came by email, and this is from Paul. He asked me not to give his last name. This is not my friend Paul in Finland, but a different Paul. And Paul says this: Hi, Tom. Wishing everyone at United Kingdom Radio a very happy Christmas, and I really hope the station goes from strength to strength in the new year. I recently moved to a new city to start a new job. Having UKR podcasts to listen to is very comforting when dealing with the inevitable upheaval. I particularly enjoy your show, Tom, because I share many of your views formed by looking at life more critically. Although Stacey White is much more traditional in his worldview, I find him a very engaging host as he is sincere in his beliefs. Finally, life would not be complete without Chris Reardon's 3 hours of moaning each week. Kind regards from Paul. Thank you very much, Paul. It's very much appreciated to have people writing in, and especially to get a little bit of recognition, because it's good for the ego, folks. It's very, very good for the ego. All right. So, if anybody would like to contact the show, they should feel free to do so. And the Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. Or indeed, you can telephone in if you're in the UK at 020-3287-1488. So, what I'm going to do now, before I move on to my my proper sort of history of Christmas discussion that I kind of had planned today, I'm going to go ahead and play something out, and Again, this is not something I normally do, but this actually came from my old podcast, Tom Harris USA, episode number 60, which was the Christmas episode last year. And I just happen to really like this little thing, so I'm going to go ahead and play it out for you now. And this is The Physics of Santa Claus. And this is, in keeping with the spirit of the season, The Physics of Santa and His Reindeer. No known species of reindeer can fly. But there are 300,000 species of living organisms yet to be classified. And while most of these are insects and germs, this does not completely rule out flying reindeer, which only Santa has ever seen. There are approximately 2 billion children, persons under 18, in the world. But since Santa doesn't appear to handle Muslim, Hindu, Jewish, and Buddhist children, that reduces the workload to 15% of the total, 378 million, according to the Population Reference Bureau.
At an average rate of 3.2 children per household, that's 91.8 million homes. One presumes there's at least one good child in each. Santa has 31 hours of Christmas Eve to work with, thanks to the different time zones and the rotation of the Earth, assuming he travels east to west, which seems logical. This works out to 822.6 visits per second. This is to say that for each Christian household with good children, Santa has 1/1000th of a second to park, hop out of the sleigh, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the remaining presents under the tree, eat whatever snacks have been left, get back up into the chimney, get back into the sleigh, and move on to the next house. Assuming that each of these 91.8 million stops are evenly distributed around the Earth, which of course we know to be false, but for the purposes of the calculation we'll accept. We are now talking about 0.78 miles per household, a total trip of 75.5 million miles, not counting stops to do what most of us must do at least every 31 hours, plus feeding, etc. This means the Santa's sleigh is moving at 650 miles per second, 3,000 times the speed of sound. For purposes of comparison, the fastest man-made vehicle, the Ulysses space probe, moves at a pokey 27.4 miles per second. Conventional reindeer can run 15 miles an hour, tops. The payload on the sleigh adds another interesting element. Assuming that each child gets nothing more than a medium-sized Lego set, 2 pounds, the sleigh is carrying 321,300 tons, not counting Santa, who is invariably described as being overweight. On land, conventional reindeer can pull no more than 300 pounds. Even granting that flying reindeer could pull 10 times the normal amount, we cannot do the job with 8 or even 9. We need 214,200 reindeer. This increases the payload, not even counting the weight of the sleigh, to 353,430 tons. Again, for comparison, this is 4 times the weight of the Queen Elizabeth. 353,000 tons moving at 650 miles per second creates enormous air resistance. This will heat up the reindeer in the same fashion as a spacecraft re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. The lead pair of reindeer will absorb 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per second each. In short, they'll burst into flame almost instantaneously, exposing the reindeer behind them and create deafening sonic booms in their wake. The entire reindeer team will be vaporized within 4.26 thousandths of a second. Santa, meanwhile, will be subjected to centrifugal forces 17,500.06 times greater than gravity. A 250-pound Santa, which seems ludicrously slim, would be pinned to the back of his sleigh by 4,315,015 pounds of force. In conclusion, if Santa ever did deliver presents on Christmas Eve, he's dead now.
And I do apologize for the kind of poor sound quality on that. I didn't even realize it when I was loading that in, that just how bad the sound was, or else I probably would have re-recorded it. Do have a couple of things coming in here on the Skype. We do have Christmas greetings here from our own Chris Reardon, who is visiting his sister up in Lincolnshire, and he has this to say. Merry Christmas, Tom. Please say Happy Christmas to Stacy, Gary, Mart, Sharon, Doreen, and Jimmy, whose voice is just broken. very, very Merry Christmas to those folks from Uncle Chris. And Daniel has this to say, can you wish my lush boyfriend, Christopher Painter, a Merry Christmas from Daniel? All right. Well, since we're having a few Christmas greetings, I'm going to go ahead and play out my next Christmas message that I'd received. So here it is.
Merry Christmas. I hope you're all spending the day with loved ones, unless you happen to be a killjoy like Tom. So, Tom, will you and Pete be having Chinese food for dinner by any chance? In the United States, it's become a tradition for atheist Jews and very urbane New Yorkers to go to a movie or the theater and have Chinese food for dinner. So, see, even if you're not a believer, you can create your own little traditions of the day. Maybe Tom likes to take a long hot bubble bath every 25th of December, something he wouldn't do on any other day. Or maybe he makes prank calls to all his atheist friends who are enjoying the holiday with their friends and families. One thing you can't call Tom is a hypocrite. But my guess is today he'll be eating steak, having a few beers, and watching It's a Wonderful Life. Make sure those hankies are handy, Tom. Tom,
are you on now?
Seriously, Tom, I hope that your day is just as joyous as everybody's everywhere, whether they believe or don't believe. Now let's see, I still have another five presents to open. Wait, is that an iPad I see under the tree? Sweet.
Come, they told me, ba-ra-ba-bum-bum. Go on. A newborn king.
So thank you very much to Suco for sending that along to us. And online we have Mark from Bristol. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing?
We're doing quite well, sir. And I have updated the Skype, folks, so the sound quality of calls should be better today. So how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm hopefully okay. I was very confused. All this stuff came on, but very nice.
Well, thank you very much.
And I can't remember what I was going to talk to you about because everything's gone back. You were talking about some... what you're talking about. I'm sorry, mate. I'm so sorry. I okay. Stuff to talk about.
I have to say the sound sounds again like you're in an airplane.
Is it?
Well, it's quieter now. But I was talking about early holiday memories and so forth, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the history of Christmas here in a moment.
Oh yeah. You did say once before about Christmas. And it was very early, because that's German stuff, isn't it? Christmas is all German and all that sort of stuff.
Right. A lot of the Christmas traditions that we have today, like the decorated tree with candles or lights on it, a lot of that came from the Germans. Yes.
It's like Prince Albert when he was here, and he went off because he was German, and he brought back the Christmas tree.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Now it's all sort of yicky.
Yeah, it's sort of become the standard, worldwide, and even in places like Japan, where they don't really celebrate Christmas for any kind of religious reasons. You still see Christmas trees in all the not the grocery stores, but the department stores and so forth.
You know, you were saying. I've got another computer there listening to some. Okay, I'll turn it down a minute. You know, you were saying the other day that you're atheist.
Yeah.
Okay, and I was talking to somebody the other night, and he said, "You got to talk to me." And I said, "Why?" I must turn that computer over. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. The sound is very.
Okay. Let me just. I'll be 2 seconds. 2 seconds. 1 second.
All right. They go ahead and do that. But you have a message here. Bob, I don't know, says, tell Chris that if he didn't kick Jimmy, he wouldn't break him. I don't really think that's what he meant, Will.
No, I was talking to this other guy, right? And I actually went to... This was actually last night, because my guy has gone away, and he's in Scotland.
Right, right.
Okay, I'll go off to...
I'm really sorry, Mark. This is not working very well. I'm afraid that there's just too much noise. I don't want to be rude, but we can't really hear you.
No problem. Okay.
All right, sorry about that, Mark. I do apologize for that, Mark, because there were just so much noise that it was just impossible to hear what you had to say. But feel free to... type it into the Skype, what you're going to say, and I'll be happy to read it out. The sound is just not very good, I'm afraid. If you're using Skype 5, incidentally, if anybody out there is using Skype 5, I would definitely recommend going and if anybody out there is using Skype 5, I would definitely recommend to go and download the Skype 4.2, and you can get it from a variety of other sources, because the Skype 5 sucks, folks. It really, I don't use that word lightly, the Skype 5 really, really sucks. And I have, in fact, downgraded my Skype to the previous version. All right, so because of Marcus, we're not able to hear him, I'm going to go ahead and play Chris Reardon Has Decreed.
Chris Reardon!
I love it!
As you all know, every week I go and find clips from Chris Reardon and play them out on the show to hear what he's decreed this week. Here's the clip.
You can't just keep making huge, high-quality programs.
All right, so there we go. Chris says we shouldn't continue to make huge, high-quality programs, so I guess I'll just have to continue to do this rubbish. All right. And interestingly enough, I was listening to another one of Chris's shows, and I found that he has a very, very odd memories of Christmas as a child.
I don't actually have any memory at all. I remember standing on the windowsill. I remember having a black dial phone. Memory number three, sitting around the dinner table, and there were some crocodiles in the oven.
And that does sound like a very unusual Christmas dinner there from Chris. I've never had crocodiles for Christmas dinner, I must say. So so that was Chris Reardon has decreed for this week. So talk a little bit about the Christmas of history. The Christmas of history. Yes, the Christmas of history. No, the history of Christmas. As Mark was saying, you know, a lot of the traditions that we have in the West here, at least, are traditions that came from the Germans, things like the Christmas tree and so forth. But the celebrations have been around for a lot longer than Christianity has. So when you talk about Christmas trees and the Germans and the other people, you know, who would decorate trees and bushes, this goes back way before Christianity. This is something that was adopted into Christianity at a much, much later time. And I was doing a little bit of research on this over the past week. Now, the very first time that it is possible for Christmas to have been celebrated on December 25th was in 337. And the first definite date when Christmas was celebrated on the December 25th was in 352. Now, those were the dates of the, you know, when they had the Council of Nicaea. The Council of Nicaea was the church body back during the reign of the Emperor Constantine that decided when all the holidays would be. Now, Christmas was not something that anybody knew when it happened. The Bible doesn't actually say when Jesus was born, doesn't say it was in the winter, doesn't say it was in the summer, doesn't say anything about it at all. In fact, of the four Gospels, only two of them even mention the birth of Jesus, and the accounts are not compatible with each other. So we know for a fact that if Jesus actually did exist, which is highly doubtful, that he probably wasn't born on December 25th. The reason why the December 25th date had been chosen was in fact because that was one of the biggest holidays on the Roman calendar. Now, a lot of different cultures had solstice celebrations. The solstice, as we know, took place this year on December 21st. It often does take place on the 21st. Is the shortest day of the year. And in old cultures, the older cultures, they had actually celebrated the rebirth of the sun. That was the day that the shortest day of the year. And then further on in the year, the days got longer and longer. So the solstice, you know, sort of the rebirth of the sun celebration. Does that sound a little familiar, the birth of the sun? And of course, the Romans, the pre-Christian era, celebrated what they called the Bruma. And this was a week of feasting around the winter solstice. And the most important day of the Bruma was December 25th. So this is a tradition, certainly, that was being celebrated hundreds and hundreds of years before Christianity ever occurred, before Jesus was supposedly born. And back in the 200 BC era, this was turned into a holiday in honor of the god Saturn, which was known as Saturnalia. Once again, this was a syncretism, of course. This is actually, they overlay this new religious aspect of the holiday over an existing holiday. This is something that the Romans loved to do. I mean, they actually, their entire religion, we talk about Jupiter and Mars and Neptune and that, was in itself a syncretism. It was something that was overlaid on the top of the old Greek religion. So they improved upon the Greek religion by kind of overlaying their own gods on top of them, and that they basically became indistinguishable. So that is in all likelihood that the origin of our date for Christmas, December 25th. Now, there were other religions who celebrated holy days on December the 25th, most notably the Zoroastrians, who celebrated the birth of the god Mithra on December 25th. Also, the Egyptian god Horus was to have been born on December the 25th. And in fact, was very similar. The story of the god Horus, if you go back and read it, is actually staggeringly similar to the story of Jesus, including the virgin birth, including being born in a stable, including, a lot of the elements are exactly the same. There's a few that are different, but most of it's exactly the same. Now, what we think of as Christmas today probably derived from the Celtic and Nordic traditions of Yule. Now, Yule was in itself a religious holiday. It was an overlay on top of the older pagan religions that existed prior to the Nordic era, but certainly by the time of the Christian era had been celebrated for centuries. And of course, the Nordic people would celebrate this holiday called Yule. Now, Yule was a religious holiday, but it wasn't necessarily one that was the most important of the year. Again, it was the celebration of the rebirth of the sun, the shortest day of the year. And the term Yule is thought to have been derived from one of the names of Odin. Odin, one of the names of him was Julnir. And he was actually celebrated at this holiday with a feast and sacrifices. And this was animal sacrifices such as ox and sheep. And what they would do is they would sacrifice the animals on December the 25th. They would, of course, have a huge gathering of people. This was a huge community celebration, and people would gather together. They would sacrifice the animals, and then the priests, or whatever they called them, the holy men, would sprinkle the blood of these sacrifices over the congregants, the people who were there. This was thought to bring them good fortune in the coming year, and then the animals were cooked and eaten. This was a big feast. So if there's one thing that we've seen in common of these solstice celebrations, this Christmas time celebrations of the past, is that we have a very clear pattern of feasting and gathering together with family and friends. The Nordic people also gave gifts to each other. This was certainly, what we think of today as giving gifts, and a time of fellowship together. And of course, it wasn't until the 3rd century AD that we actually started to celebrate this as being sort of the birth of Christ. But a lot of these old traditions, such as gathering together with family and friends, the big Christmas dinner, the giving of gifts, is all still there. It has nothing to do with the Bible. I mean, you won't find any of that stuff in the Bible. But the syncretic idea that is has become Christmas is actually something that's been going on for a lot longer without a necessarily religious component to it. So when you talk about the true meaning of Christmas, you talk about the true meaning of the holiday, a lot of people do. And they kind of bemoan the commercialization of it. I understand that completely. I do too. But when you start talking about the reason for the season, keep in mind that the reason for the season has really never been a religious one. Not really. It's been about gathering with family and friends, and about feasting, and singing, and having a good time. So I am going to be the sort of hardcore traditionalist here. I think we need to return Christmas to its true meaning. Let's take the religious aspects completely out of Christmas and just have a good time. Anyhow, that's my opinion. And if you have a different one, feel free to phone into the show. You can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio, or indeed you can call 020-3287-1488. We do have a number of messages here. Chris is agreeing with me about Skype 5. Yes, it's terrible, terrible. There's a number of other messages coming in. Mike is saying that he agrees Skype 5 is a load of bollocks. Yeah, terrible, terrible, terrible program there. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the next of these. I'm kind of running out of time here, so I'm going to go ahead and play the next of these Christmas messages right now. Here it is.
Hi, my name is Ross Patzel, and I do the Geekcast on thegeekcast.co.uk. Bet you cut that bit out. And I'd like to wish all Tom Harris's listeners a very Merry Christmas. And I hope you get everything that you asked for. And I hope you have a very nice time, and I hope that you drink lots of booze and get very drunk and make a fool of yourself in front of all your family, because that's what Christmas is all about, getting in the Christmas spirit. There we go, Tom Harris. That was a little greeting from me. You can play that out on your Geekcast if you want on Christmas Day morning.
And that was, of course, Ross Patzelt and his Christmas greeting to you all. I'm going to go ahead and play the last of these greetings that I've received. And, of course, if anybody has any shout-outs or whatever, please feel free to call in. But here's the last of my little Christmas clips. And this one comes from our very own Bob I Don't Know. And here it is.
I would rather say bah humbug. But since Tom has decreed that we should send in festive messages, then here goes. Merry Christmas or other religious day to all who celebrate. Merry normal day to those who don't. And very special wishes to those who are alone and don't want to be. Hey, good wishes to you all too. Want to be alone and can't be either. Some personal messages to my children here. To my youngest son, may I wish you a happy feast of Wintervale. To my eldest son, happy get drunk, just like every other day. And to my daughter and all of the Pastafarians out there, a happy holiday. Now, I would like to thank all the presenters and listeners of United Kingdom Radio who have given me so much pleasure, both on and off air. And with that, it's time to crack open the diet water. Cheers, everyone. It's hard work being nice, you know.
That was Bob I Don't Know with her Christmas greeting. So fantastic. Bob I Don't Know also says, ditch commercialism and any kind of holiday is so much better. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And maybe that's one of the reasons why I don't tend to do the holiday thing. Because, you know, we have this culture that tells us, you know, yeah, go out and shop, folks. You know, buy lots of stuff. And I kind of understand where it comes from as far as the, you know, the retail people. And, you know, that's their big time of year. That's is kind of when they make all their money. And I'm not one of these people that goes out and spends a lot of money anyway. I buy stuff all year round. And there's no particular time of the year when I actually tend to buy more stuff. So maybe I'm not the sort of target audience that the retailers have, but that is sort of the common thing that a lot of people talk about. They talk about, oh, it's so commercialized now. There's so much pressure to go out and buy stuff. Well, yeah, I agree with that. And I not proposing that that's a good thing. But on the other hand, I'm not proposing that it's a bad thing either, because nobody can force you to go out and buy stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who don't buy anything for holidays. I haven't spent much on this year's Christmas. In fact, I don't think I've spent anything this year. You know, my plans for the holiday involve, a little bit later today, I'm going to go out for a walk in the snow. I'm going to go over to one of the local parks over here and look for a geocache. That'll be exciting. And then also later in the day, I believe that Pete is going to be coming by and be spending a little bit of time with him later in the day today. He has to endure some family event before coming here. But that's sort of my plan for today. Very low key, nothing going on. We're not spending anything. Now tomorrow, we're actually going to go out for a very, very nice dinner, because this has something to do with using up the house charge I get from work. So we're going to be going out for a very, very nice dinner indeed tomorrow and spend a little money on that. But that's not really a major expense. And Tsuko kind of jokingly calls me a killjoy, and I don't agree with that. I mean, I don't think that I'm maybe the life of the party when it comes to holidays. But on the other hand, I've had some fantastic holidays where you haven't really had a big celebration. One of my favorite Christmases ever, now this was a few years back, I think it was about, I think it's say about 1994. I think it was Christmas in 94. And at the time I was living with a roommate in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. And we had over at our house, we had my friend Nathan, his boyfriend, and Ashok and myself. And so it was a pagan, an atheist, a Hindu, and I believe that Eric was Jewish. Not really sure about that. Sitting around in our living room in Cleveland, Ohio, I think my roommate made dinner for us. I think it was pizza, as I recall. And we had a sort of Christmas tree sort of thing. And what it was a long piece of coiled wire that you hang from the ceiling. And it was like this giant Christmas spring. It's sort of a tinseled piece of wire that spiraled down from the ceiling and got wider as you went down. And, just very, very nice day that was spent among good friends, having good food, and just enjoying each other's company. And to me, that is what the holiday spirit is about. Mike is saying, who's responsible for the January sales? That should be another season. Hang on, it already is, the winter sales. Yeah, well, it's all connected, isn't it? I mean, really. But I also don't hit the winter sales. I'm not somebody who buys a lot of stuff. I think I talked about a little bit going out on Black Friday this year when Pete and I went downtown and met up with my best friend and his wife downtown Chicago on Black Friday, and how incredibly crowded it was down there. Just, I don't understand these things because I'm not such a consumerist. So that's kind of, I'm kind of lost when it comes to that. It seems very alien to me, this whole suburban sort of mindset. I was talking about this with Pete the other day in the car, that I don't understand this sort of need to acquire stuff. I live a very, very simple life. When I get a little money, I tend to want to travel and go places and see things and not buy stuff. I don't have a lot of stuff. I don't have a very big apartment. I don't have room for stuff. But that's kind of a subject for another day, and I'm not going to get into that right now. Anyway, it is now we get about 8 minutes left, and I have a four-minute thing that I'm going to play. This is my gift to you all, to my listeners here on United Kingdom Radio. This is my holiday poem that I wrote myself. And I did pre-record it because I was a little bit worried about playing it out live on the air. I hope you enjoy it. I'd like to relate a strange tale to you all. For this time of year, when the snow does fall, I woke up one day with a heart full of dread at the sight of a magic red suit on my bed. Well, this surely can't be, though I do have a beard, but my belly's not that big. This surely is weird. Am I now a Santa? I pondered a bit. Well, if I'm to be one, then I'll need all the kit. Sleighs in Chicago, I think there are nicks. But I'll use that old Pontiac up on those bricks. And reindeer are scarce here outside of a zoo. So I guess our departed presenters will do. But how did they get here? I guess nobody knows. The magic suit magicked them here, I suppose. So all our old hosts, who've all gone their own way, will carry my sorry excuse firstly. On Patselt and Butler, and Chris Speed and crew. On Mikey and Yannick, and Lee Last, too. We'll deliver our gifts to the good old UK, dispensing good cheer on this cold winter's day. But I needed a helper, and I knew just who. I stopped down in Kiefer to pick up my crew. Stacy White joined me in spite of himself, but I'm not sure he wanted to dress up as an elf. As the wind swept us up and we rose towards the Highlands, we needed to make a quick stop on Long Island. We can't forget Suko. Well, that would be wrong. But she called me a killjoy. She'll help pull us along. So across the Atlantic our Pontiac sped, our holiday messages soon to be spread. We left reared in a vice grip, Penny clenched with its might, to remind him of all he has left that's tight. Next to Paul Edwards' house we were going. We left him some lager and a bright geo coin. For Terry and Travis and Gavin, some walkers, and some leftover fruitcake for all of those talkers. For Sean Rich's hot chocolate and a new microphone, but we drank all the chocolate because he wasn't at home. For Lee Mills a new pewter and a tree for his set. But we weren't on his show, we had places to get. To Sweden and Stephen we made a quick trip. We left him pickled herrings and some hot grog to sip. An alarm for Mike Cullen, he needs it a lot. But what about our poor listeners, I suddenly thought. To get to Australia was just a bit hard, so Zach Wright will just have to make do with a card. A Dalek for Robert to share with his elves. For Millie, some snow tires. We installed them ourselves. Diet water and smokes for our friend Fagash Lil. Some nappies for Jennifer's chickens to fill. For Irving Distiller, some bottles of booze. And for Mark in Bristol, some Mulan skin shoes. Ian Duff, we sent wine from the German Rhineland. And for old Gary Burton, we got hospitals banned. But surely my reindeer deserve presents as well, for hauling our sleigh must have been bloody hell. For Ross cans of Stella that we nicked from the Tesco's. For Mikey raw cookie dough and salt vinegar discos. For Yannick a Manchester United jersey. We know he likes Chelsea, but we were in a hurry. For Chris Speed and his gang a trip to the Mouse. For Lee Last a new mixer to put in his house. Basil we set up with some scotch and a tip for which horse to bet it all on in the fifth. Which left us with Suko. For helping us pull. But she called me a killjoy, so she just gets coal. And once we were all brimming with Yuletide joy, my magic suit's off switch was soon to deploy. Return us all home, was the word that was given. If I'd known it was that easy, we wouldn't have driven. Poor Stacy was whining. He didn't get any stuff. But wasn't a free trip to England enough? So have a great solstice, or Christmas, or Eid, or Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa. And thanks for the ride. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. Have a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, whatever holiday you celebrate. Hope it goes wonderfully for you, and we'll see you next year on Tom Harris Live. But we're not quite leaving just yet. Sorry about that, folks. I was planning on playing that just a little bit closer to the end of the show. And Mark is keeping us posted on what's going on in the hit. I'm actually trying to download a another message. This coming in at the very, very last second from Stephen. So trying to get this and down to play out to you all. This is very disorganized. I do apologize, folks. And I only have about a minute. So this is going to go out, hopefully. All right, here we go. This is from Steven over in Sweden.
I just thought I would send a message as you asked for them. I hope you're going to be able to play this. I thought about bringing up a kind of a personal niggle of mine. It's been a niggle for some time. I don't know whether or not you are a great recycler or anything. Well, I think at Christmas time it is usually brought to my attention the amount of paper that is wasted. And that doesn't seem to be a way to wrap certain presents without creating some excess, you know, an oblong of wasted paper. I did it myself. Now I was thinking that if the governments that we live under or work for us wish to instill ecological values in us, which they do, that they should use Christmas time as a reflection on how bad things can get. And, you know, we buy Christmas paper in rollers, don't we? Yet we buy office paper in packages. And why, isn't that silly? I mean, surely, I know it can be stored more easily, but we should look into the average size of a present, its dimensions, in comparison with the sort of paper we'll use. You know, usually there are two or three oblong, sort of square-shaped packages, and you have a few little ones. Now, I think the other shaped packages, the, what would we say, rhombus shaped perhaps, or, you know, the TARDIS or phone box shaped presents. As I was saying, I used to work in a hotel, and the amount of crap that was wasted, left about, really made me wonder whether or not recycling will ever be of any use, because certain industries, and also I'd add the medical industries, yeah, medical care, seem to completely disregard recycling. So I can but ask, is there any point if the 1% that we produce in comparison with, say, the average hotel? Another thing I would like to add is that if people are probably perhaps contemplating dumping their other halves, now could they perhaps wait until a month or so after New Year's Eve? It would be nice. But no, as it probably has happened, a number of people have been given the kick a week or so, or perhaps even today. Perhaps they have that little package to look forward to. So if you are the dumpy, you should be blimming ashamed of yourself. So more about the Christmas presents. I think a lot of you may be getting a computer. Well, and this is me moralising again, perhaps. You know, you could use it for something a little more productive than playing games on. I am, and it's not even my computer. You could put your voice out to the world by using the site called audioboo.fm. Or a number of things. You could become an interesting YouTuber, or you could start your own little radio webcast type show. So a lot of you are going to get a lot fatter during the festive period. And I'd like to say that just because it's a festive period doesn't mean you can't eat something that isn't stodgy and get some exercise. So that's my little bit of Christmas moralising and everything. And I wish you a sense of calm and the composure in which to restrain yourselves from murdering your spouses, your in-laws, your other halves, etc., etc. It is possible, and humans are rather infuriating. So, a good day to you all.
And that was our own Stephen Parker. You can hear Stephen on United Kingdom Radio. Just check the schedule as to find out when. Got to go. This is very, very late, and the end, I know, got cut off on the broadcast, but here we are on the podcast, and it's all here, folks, so just remember to download the podcast if you missed the end. This is Tom in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. Very Merry Christmas, and I'll see you on New Year's Day.